Well, hello there, ladies and gents. Great to see you again, and welcome back to Advance Your Wealth with Homer Smith. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator here on the show, and as always, I'll be joined by Homer, our resident private wealth advisor, and we're going to be jumping into a great discussion, kind of double-clicking into a topic that we brought up in a prior conversation on the show surrounding the idea of human longevity. It's becoming such a prominent and premier conversation just day in and day out for Homer, and we wanted to bring on a kind of a resident an expert in this space. And so we have a great guest that's going to be joining us in today's discussion, and that's Mr. David Caro. David is an innovative leader. He brings over a decade worth of experience in advanced MR imaging and genomic analytics. That is, you know, he is the president and chief innovation officer over at Human Longevity Incorporated. And boy, are we going to be tapping into a lot of his expertise today to dive into this topic and, of course, what that means for you and, of course, your financial world. So with that, let's go ahead and say hi to the man of the hour, Homer. Good to see you today. How are we doing?
Hey, Ryan. Good to see you as always. Excited for this topic today, for sure.
Yeah. So why don't you frame things up for us? Why did you want to bring David on? I know you've shared with us in prior conversations that this idea of human longevity, there's financial repercussions, there's personal repercussions, but it's a big conversation that you're having with clients a lot these days. So why did you feel you really want to have David on the show today?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think a lot of it for me is most of the clients we are working with are having tremendous success in their business, in their life, financially. And they're to a point where, you know, the money's not really the issue so much anymore, at least not making it last is not the issue. And as they age, it's more about how do we actually enjoy life and not, you know, end up with a lot of the struggles that most do, where we are. As I was starting in my career, working mostly with like retirees coming from just professional careers, we were always kind of planning for this expectation that age 70 or 75, they would stop spending money, stop traveling, and start to wind down their life. And that's kind of not the most fun experience to help them think through. And I had the blessing of being introduced to Human Longevity Inc. At its founding, you know, 7-8 years ago through Peter Diamandis's mastermind group, and had the opportunity to go through the process at a pretty young age and understand the benefits of using data to think about the outcomes into the future and be more proactive. And so, you know, a lot of the work we do is all about getting the outcomes that our clients want to achieve, mostly financially, but obviously that crosses over into their health quite a bit. And so we're constantly trying to find ways to improve their overall world and optimize the bigger picture. And getting reintroduced to David and Human Longevity Inc. recently is like, gosh, we got to have you, you know, on the podcast to talk more about this, because I just think it's so important. And it's to your point earlier, it's a topic our clients are asking about and thinking a lot about. So I think this is just perfect timing to make this a big discussion.
Yeah, I love it. So with that, let's go ahead and welcome David onto the show. David, thanks so much for carving some time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Ryan. Homer, looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, so David, kind of as an intro for those who aren't as familiar with, you know, longevity planning and the specifics of that, maybe, you know, a little bit more of an intro of yourself and Human Longevity Inc. And what is this longevity planning that I think a lot of people are hearing about, but might have a lot of different views of what it means how do you guys view it at Human Longevity?
Yeah, no, thanks again, a real pleasure to be with you and your audience. So just by way of background, I won't spend too much of my own background, but I'm you know, probably safe to say probably a very different background for most of the folks that are on the call. I'm a physician scientist by training, and originally from the Midwest, outside Detroit, and went to medical school in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, and, you know, migrated to the West Coast for all of my post-medical school training, was at UCLA Medical Center for a few years, and then had a faculty career at UC San Diego Medical School for a number of years, focused both on clinical medicine and also research lab. And the primary purpose was really to understand the primary purpose of that lab was to understand how we can get ahead of chronic age-related disease, rather than you know, identifying, you know, stage two, stage three, late stage chronic disease, whether it's dementia or cancer or cardiovascular disease. How do we use modern precision medicine data like genomic data, imaging data, wearable data, blood data to really understand your future risk for those diseases so that you can get ahead of that risk using personalized modifiable risk factors, mitigate that risk, or potentially reverse early trends? So long story short, I had had enough with sick care because the current healthcare system, Homer, you and I have talked about this, is largely a sick care system. You know, we're great at identifying and treating late stage disease, but we're not great as a system at what I call precision prevention or longevity care, precision medicine care, which is the idea that we can use data to understand your risks for chronic age-related disease and get ahead of those risks. So I saw what was happening at Human Longevity. Human Longevity was founded in 2013, so we're about 10, 11 years old. And the whole promise of Human Longevity is for our clients to be able to reduce genomics-based medicine, AI-enabled medicine, data-driven medicine to clinical practice for our clients' benefit. And really, our whole value promise to our clients is, look, we're going to use data, your data, lots of data, to understand where you're currently at, but we're also going to use that same data set to understand where you're headed and hopefully to not only give you an extra 10 years of health span and longevity, but also optimize your vitality and performance on the way. And I think the key to what we do that's different, Homer, from executive health programs or from typical concierge docs is we're using a lot of personalized precision medicine-based data to drive decision support. Just like everybody bases, you know, wealth decisions and long-term wealth decisions on data, we're doing the same thing with precision prevention.
So, and I love that, and I think it's so important. And I got to, even at the very early stages that I went 8+ years ago, there was already stories of the value of having gone through a lot of these proactive approaches that you take when you go through your program to expand that health span. You know, maybe share some quick stories on some breakthroughs for the people that were going through it because of the proactive nature of what you did that maybe prevented them from having to get to that stage 2, 3, 4 issue that might have been more difficult to treat.
Yeah. No, it's a great comment and question. And, you know, I think one of the areas that we really excel is in what I call sort of precision prevention cancer. So the idea that, look, I can't promise you or any of our clients, and we have about 2,000 clients who are members who are with us for years and years, I can't look anybody in the eye and say, look, you'll never get cancer. But what I can say is in the year 2024, if you do get cancer with whole body MRI and whole genome sequencing and liquid biopsy and Cologuard, a number of other tests, that we can maximize the capability to identify that cancer at stage one when it's totally curable and treatable. And by the way, that's not just for breast cancer or prostate cancer. That's the vast majority of cancers that we all worried about: brain cancer, pancreatic cancer, head and neck cancer, bladder cancer, kidney cancer, you name it. The ability in 2024 to identify cancer early has never been sharper. And so the way that is manifested for so many of our clients is that now 10,000 clients into this, our data shows that 1 in 50 of folks that come in and they're presumed healthy and for all, you know, they don't realize that they have a cancer diagnosis, but 1 in 50 of those individuals will actually have a previously undetected early stage high grade cancer that's very actionable. So again, that's a stage one cancer, could be a lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, you name it. But the key is that it's early and actionable because, you know, no one wants to find a late stage cancer. It's materially not going to make that much difference. So one, you know, sort of anecdote, we have so many of these. Even before I joined Human Longevity, when I was still faculty at UC San Diego, I can remember one of the very first clients who went through was a former Nobel laureate who lives in San Diego, and he's been very public with this story, but he was in his mid 70s and again, sort of presumed healthy, went through our assessment. And we found a early stage, high grade mediastinal lymphoma, which is normally sort of a uniformly fatal diagnosis because often it's caught late after diagnosis. you know, the patient will get short of breath and then they'll seek medical attention, but by then it's too late. We identified this at stage one. And so he was treated with chemotherapy and radiotherapy and is alive today. But no question, a couple of years later, he would have passed from a late stage diagnosis. So we have so many examples of that, whether it's pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor, even early stage brain cancers, gliomas, early stage transitional cell carcinoma of the bladder, the collecting system, where most folks in the traditional sick care setting would get diagnosed late. But because we were able to diagnose early, these folks are living now cancer-free, in some cases, 7 years later.
That's amazing. And what I'm hearing from you is this, and you've mentioned it already, is this is a very data-driven approach, and not only data on the client, the customer that you guys work with, but also just on, a lot of gathered data from many people going through this to be able to help identify some of these issues. When I think of longevity, or when I did prior to our conversation and kind of being reintroduced to human longevity, I think a lot of people see, some of these extremely wealthy people out there that are investing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in solutions to try to extend their life. And there's lots of things out there, hyperbaric chambers, cold plunges, different supplements with people looking to live extremely long lives. So my question to you, I think probably is on the mind of many, the promise or the idea, the goal of living 10 plus extra years in a very healthy way, expanding the health span. Is this a magic elixir? Is this really, something that's credible? And maybe you can expand on it, because I'm sure you've done a lot of the data. Are some of those things out there that people hear about, legitimate as well? Are they part of your guys' process in terms of things you might recommend given certain diagnoses as you see?
Yeah. So it's a great, great question. And we get, as you can imagine, questions like this all the time. And I have some really good news in this regard. So the first thing to comment on is that, look, we're really focused on, for our members, on health span, not so much lifespan. We focus on both, but listen, who wants to your point, who wants to live another 10 years if those are 10 crappy years, right? So our whole concept is, look, whatever years you have, let's maximize it. Maximize your vitality, your performance, really manage the trajectory of aging, I think is the way that we like to sort of qualify it. But I think, here's the really good news, and you'll hear from all kinds of folks in the longevity space and everybody on this call, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of, sort of bells and whistles, but not a lot of evidence-based, data-driven approaches to longevity. And so you'll hear everything about rapamycin, and you'll hear maybe NMN, which is an NAD precursor. And all of these, wild claims about, sort of magic elixirs and supplements and pills that'll give you additional years. And, the reality is none of that is proven. I mean, none of those supplements that I just mentioned are proven. But here's the good news. You don't need any of that to give yourself another 10 plus healthy years, because the data is so convincing on this, which is that, look, the only disease really that matters for all the chronic age-related disease, whether it's diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, is really what we call the disease of aging, because it underlies almost every other chronic age-related disease that's out there. It's a reason why nobody gets Parkinson's in their 30s or Alzheimer's in their 30s, or even a terrible disease like Huntington's or ALS in their 30s, because the biggest risk factor by far for all serious chronic age-related disease is age or advanced age. So look, if you can keep your biologic age, not your chronological, so if you're 70 years old and your biologic age, in other words, your biochemical age is 50, you're at much less risk for all those chronic age-related diseases. So someone with even the genetic background to get Huntington's, if we can keep that person's biologic age in their 40s, we can really delay the onset of the Huntington's disease. So you might ask, well, then how do you do that? How do you keep your biologic age much less than your chronologic age? In other words, if your actual stated age is 70, how do you, look and feel and biochemically be the age of 50? And there's the good news. We have so many modifiable risk factors that in general are sort of personalized. It's everything from insulin resistance, mitochondrial support, muscle mass, bone mineral, Even modifying hormones like testosterone and estradiol if they're low, reducing inflammation, gut inflammation is a big one. And the key is, with all of this data that we collect, how do we, because you don't care what the laundry list of all this is, right? You want to know, what are the most important modifiable risk factors for me personally that matter to me that I can really target to kind of get ahead of the aging process? So that's what we do with all the data.
And what it sounds like to me, and I want to make sure I say this in the right way, because in some of the conversations we've had, I think we agree the healthcare system is somewhat broken. And in my view, and this is just my opinion, that there's always a pill or a shot that is the answer, right? There's just a take this pill or take this shot and treat the issue, the symptom, but not really treat the heart of the issue. And it sounds like this goes way beyond just a prescription for a pill or for a shot, which might be part of it and might be necessary, but there's so much more to the approach that you guys take beyond just maybe the medicine for it, that there's so much more to it than just the medicine. Is that accurate?
Yeah. No, it's really fair. I mean, I think what our sick care system is good at, unfortunately, again, is treating late stage disease. And a lot of that is symptom-based. So your cholesterol is high. If you have Parkinson's, we use levodopa to replace the dopamine. But, you know, what is the root cause of the high cholesterol? Is it inflammation? Is it genetic predisposition? What is the root cause of Parkinson's? Actually, Parkinson's, it's not a disease of dopamine dysfunction. It's a disease of mitochondrial dysfunction. So how do we, give your body more mitochondrial support? And there's many ways to do that. So it's really, again, getting to the root cause. And really what we do as a company, what we do best is treat pre-symptomatic risk or prodromal or early disease. And that's the point of all of the data, is to really get you at a point long before it reaches, stage two or middle stage or late stage disease. And at the early stages, there's so much we can do about it. And this is something that's probably foreign to most of you on the call. At the pre-symptomatic or prodromal or very early stages of disease, there's a dynamic back and forth. It's not a given that it will be naturally progressive. So, it's sort of a little, fight between kind of good and evil, and you're at a transition point. It could go either way. And what we find in our clients is that if we can identify sort of prodromal or very early disease, we can often not only mitigate progression, that's already pretty cool, right? We can mitigate your progression. But in some cases, if we have a very sort of tailored, personalized approach based on the data, we can reverse even serious disease, like mild cognitive impairment, a precursor to dementia, even reversed sort of early coronary artery disease, certainly reversing prediabetes and diabetes. And again, the key is to identify the earliest stages with data, and then based on the data, identify the most important personalized modifiable risk factors. And so there's really so much you can do so long as you have the data. And that's the key. Our clients work with a concierge physician in our medical group, but together we're using data to drive decision support.
So kind of goes back to this, obviously seems like logically this approach makes the most sense. Our system doesn't work this way, right? And we even talked prior to this call that, it may have to get worse before it gets better. But if David was in charge and human longevity was in charge of the system, how would you try to change it? What would you do differently to try to make this more of the way we approach healing people in this country versus sick care?
Yeah. Well, many of you on the, on this call are well aware, unfortunately, that right now in the U.S., we spend about 20% of our GDP, 20 cents on every dollar, on healthcare. And by the way, that's way more than any other country on the planet. Asian countries, Western European countries, way more by a long shot. And, by comparison, we spend 4% of our GDP on military spending. So this is a massive investment. And, maybe that would be okay if we were getting this awesome return on the investment, but actually neither are true. So we're spending wildly, and actually our return is actually one that's declining. So our life expectancy used to be in the United States around 79, 80 years of age. It's actually declined in the last several years to about 77. It's still going down. And by the way, this preceded COVID, so we can't blame COVID on this, but it doesn't matter. For a country that spends 20 cents on every dollar on their healthcare, This should not be happening. And the reason is we don't actually really have, as you point out, a healthcare system in this country. We have a sick care system. So if you're, you know, on planet Earth and you want to get treated for late stage disease, there's actually no better place on the planet than the United States of America. But if you want to instead get ahead of disease using data and precision prevention, it's probably one of the worst places to go. So I think the good news is that there's companies like ours and there's others like us. And I think this may largely have to be driven by the private sector. And you know who else who gets this are self-insured corporations, because they're ultimately spending more for their employees' healthcare and getting less. So we're working with a number of self-insured corporations to offer kind of a less sort of concierge white glove version of our membership that really does two things. It improves outcomes, but it also at scale reduces costs. So I think really what we do, Homer, at scale, we call it longevity care now, but really at scale, it's actually value-based care. What is value-based care? It's improving outcomes while controlling costs. The only way to do that is three things. How do you improve outcomes while controlling costs? It's got to be data heavy. It's got to be platform and AI heavy. And it's got to be in some ways physician light, because we have so much powerful data. So that's kind of how I see it.
Man, David, this is such an informative conversation that we could just continue to pepper you with questions, but we want to be respectful of your time and just really appreciate all the value you shared with us today. For anybody out there who is interested in learning more about what you and your team do at Human Longevity, or would like to just open up a dialogue, learn more, any of the things, what would be the best way somebody could reach out to you and your team and just, you know, open up that conversation?
Yeah. So go to our website, humanlongevity.com, and you'll find a link to our client services, and you can enter some contact information and they'll be in touch. But just to kind of close on that, you know, our care model is not like an executive health where it's kind of a one and done. You go, you know, like the Mayo Clinic once a year and you get a bunch of tests. And we're also not like a typical concierge doctor, you know, where it's sort of still a very superficial approach. We're actually somewhere in between. So we're ongoing care. Our members join us as members. It's ongoing. It's longitudinal. It's not a one and done. So we have yearly 3-5 year memberships. But the whole concept is you have a concierge longevity doctor who's sort of your quarterback physician, but you're getting as part of this really a data upload, whole body MRI, whole genome sequencing, wearables, blood data, and it's ongoing and longitudinal. We're using that data on an ongoing basis to kind of work with you on your longevity and performance goals. But go to our website, humanlongevity.com, and you'll find out more.
Very cool. Well, David, again, really appreciate you carving some time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And, you know, we'll have to circle back and have another conversation down the road and check in.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ryan Homer. Thank you. And I hope all of you think about the longevity care space, whether it's our companies or others, you know, get involved.
Of course. Well, folks, we're going to take a final moment, as we always do, and thank you all, our audience, for stopping by and spending time with Homer, David, and myself today on the show. If you enjoyed today's conversation, you learned a thing or two, I know I did, you want to make sure then that you subscribe to the show on whichever platform you checked us out on today so that you don't miss out on any of these great conversations where Homer and I either dive into some wealth management, you know, different topics, or we bring on an esteemed guest and get a, you know, a look into their expertise and their world. Before David and Homer, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Advance Your Wealth.
All opinions expressed by Homer Smith are solely Smith's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Integrated Wealth Concepts, LLC, Integrated, or its parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Smith on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Smith as a specific inducement to make particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Smith's opinions are based on information he considers reliable, but neither Integrated nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. Smith, Integrated, its affiliates and or subsidiaries are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided. Smith's statements and opinions are subject to change without notice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Neither Smith nor Integrated guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed by Smith or anyone else. Strategies or investments discussed may fluctuate in price or value. Investors may get back less than invested. Investments or strategies mentioned on this website or in the show may not be suitable for you. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned by Smith. Before acting on information you hear, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. Investment advice offered through Integrated Financial Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Financial Partners provides investment advisory services through several doing business as names. The information in this material is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Integrated Financial Partners does not provide legal, tax, mortgage advice, or services.